So my wife and I are watching television last night, Sunday night. Just happened to have the TV on. We really weren't watching it, but something that started being said kind of caught my attention, and I'm going, wait a minute, I've heard this before. Yeah, I've heard this before on my own radio show 4 months ago.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
So as I said, my wife and I, we are watching television. Actually, it was program with Steve Hinton, The Next Revolution. And he has this headline that you really need to hear about some shocking information you probably never knew about the coronavirus. I mean, this is going to be earth-shattering, like you never heard this before. And it probably is true if you had just watched NBC or CNN, and for that matter, to a degree, even Fox News. You would be thoroughly in the dark about the origins of this virus. These are things I started telling you on the old weekend show, you know, your weekend show that used to air as a podcast and then on a couple of shortwave stations on Saturday and Sunday. And I was telling you back in April and May and June about the things that were suddenly a shocking revelation on the program last night. I mean, it was such a shocking revelation. I have to wonder how many people were hearing it for the first time last night on the TV. So what was this shocking revelation? Well, it appears that cover story that we all were given way back in the early days of the pandemic, when nobody knew where this virus came from. We knew it was maybe China. The World Health Organization said it really wasn't a big deal to worry about, and so did the Chinese. Nothing to see here, don't worry. And then when it became apparent it was a serious virus and it was traveling the world unabated, then what was the next story? Oh, it came out of a wet market. You know, that's one of those kind of nasty meat markets in the province of Wuhan in China. But it was just a freak accident. Somehow somebody got a hold of a virus infected old bat.
We have a real challenge. Forgetting politics, forgetting partisanship. This is patriotism for our country.
300 miles or 1,000 miles, some unreal distance away from Wuhan, because this bat's not native to that area at all. And somehow this bat made its way to a nasty wet meat market and somehow infected somebody, patient zero, and patient zero infected a few more, and somehow it infected somebody that was flying to, I don't know, Italy, Europe, United Kingdom, United States. You remember the story. It was all, as Joe Biden had written on the side of his bus, a bunch of malarkey. It's not true. I was telling you back in on the weekend show, all the way back in April, that don't buy the meat market story. Don't buy the wet market nonsense. It's not true. It just so happens that Wuhan happens to, it just mere coincidence, I'm sure, has a level 4. That's about the highest. That is the highest level virology lab. They study viruses there in Wuhan. Now, I also told you back in the summertime, if you were paying attention, and also in September, that Dr. Fauci's got his fingerprints all over the Wuhan lab. Matter of fact, millions of dollars of the money that he runs went to that lab. See, there was a time that Dr. Fauci and company were doing what's called gain-of-function studies on a SARS-CoV virus to make it more contagious to humans. And they couldn't do that research in the United States. It went off, I think, to Canada. And then with lots of our money, what it boils down to is what I've been telling you since the first in a series of programs that I call the politics of a pandemic, that we have been misled and lied to multiple times along the way. So many things about this virus we need to understand. Number one, why was United States money involved in a lab in Wuhan? And why has Dr. Fauci not been arrested and charged with violating U.S. laws? You know, well, you can't do that research here, so why do we take taxpayer money and send it to China to do something we don't want to do here? Maybe the millions that died worldwide should be held responsible to the guy that wanted to keep doing the gain-of-function research and sent the virus to China. I mean, am I being unreasonable here? The entire world has had to deal with this pandemic. I don't care. Every continent, businesses destroyed, lives ruined, people committing suicide, let alone dying from the virus, even though those numbers have been inflated for political purposes. And now we're coming into the first, you know, we have 5 days of Biden down. We got 95 more days of the first 100, and then 1,451 more days to go to the end of the first term. And all we've seen done is, well, maybe we can't fix it. Maybe we can change how we're doing the vaccine. Maybe, in other words, all the promises were phony to begin with. Now, you knew that to begin with if you listened to this program. You've been played like a fool. The virus was allowed to get out of China. I really believe that part of it. I've really thought about this. The Chinese really didn't intentionally let it go, but once it was out, hey, can't hurt. Can't hurt to wreck the world's economy to keep the Chinese economy strong, which is what happened. They've done quite well, thank you very much. While people that lost their life savings, lost everything, because of these idiotic governors. By the way, it's so funny now that, you know, saying Andrew Cuomo the Pious of New York, you know, we better start opening stuff up before there's nothing left to open up. Yeah, you did that as soon as Biden was inaugurated. The rules suddenly started to change at the WHO, the WHO. Maybe, you know, maybe the PCR test is not reliable. Too many false positives. And maybe people that die in car wrecks didn't die of COVID. You're going to start seeing a more accurate counting, and magically the numbers are going to be going down after a little bit of a peak to get the magic number of 500,000. Then Joe Biden is going to wave his magic pen and cure the coronavirus. There's been so much nonsense in this process. And then we have the revelation that for many years, U.S. taxpayer money has been spent on gain-of-function research on viruses that can spread from various animal life to human beings, making them far more dangerous and far more deadly. Isn't that a nice thing to know, that Dr. Fauci was in charge of all of that over these past decades? And 6 years ago, when it was no longer legal to do it in this country, hey, send the money and the virus to China. Well, doesn't that make you feel real good? We have been lied to about this virus. Look, the old saying that Rahm Emanuel said is so true. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Remember that. Never forget it. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Now we're going to find out the PCR numbers were inflated, and then we're going to find out probably in time that, you know, half the deaths, roughly some 40% at least, died in nursing homes, and the vast majority are over the age of 70. And maybe these numbers, like I say, car wrecks, gunshots, they're not COVID. I know it's a dangerous virus. I almost lost a family member that didn't get treatment early on, tried to tough it out, and had underlying conditions. I get it. But it was not billed to be what they claimed that it was. And that is what I find upsetting. There was a narrative out there. I can remember back in the summertime when everybody's saying, we got to wear a mask, got to wear a mask. Oh, got to wear a mask so we don't kill you. You know, your mask protects me and mine protects you. That was what we were told. And if you don't wear one, you're selfish. That's what we were told. And because, you know, you may be an asymptomatic super spreader at a grocery store or to church. God forbid that you go to church and have communion and Jesus kills you. This is the kind of stuff that was going on. And people are still running around in their mask and fear in their eyes. We've never done anything like this before in our history. All we did is slow it down. And the end result is probably more people will contract this thing. It won't burn through as a pathogen. And we just created more misery. I mean, that's going to be our claim to fame. We made it more miserable to begin with. Then we have the narrative. By the way, my guest today is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. A lot of you enjoy his time. He used to sell stock on Wall Street. Then the Lord called him into ministry. And then he went back to Wall Street to help raise his family. Was there on 9/11. Changed his life forever watching people jump out of buildings. And he changed his entire ministry and focus, and that's why I'm so glad to have him on the program today. I can remember in the summertime, somebody at the WHO, the WHO, said, you know, maybe there is no such thing as asymptomatic spread. We can't prove it. And man, did the media and the mainstream narrative, no, you can't say that. That's going to ruin the whole thing.
That's right. And they're saying none of these people. Look at the policies that have been put into place. Look how many people have lost jobs, how many businesses have suffered because of these PCR tests. We were so darn sure of them, right? You know what?
No, we weren't. We were not. Most people that knew better knew they were right. Nonsense.
We destroyed the economy, destroyed business, destroyed everything, but we got Trump out of office.
That was the whole reason. You got it. That was one purpose. We got to get rid of Trump. The world wanted to get rid of
the American people.
And lest we take pride in this, let's be honest. The world and China wanted to get rid of Trump in the world's worst kind of way. Trump was the first president to ever stand up to the Chinese dragon, period. He's the first one.
Yeah. He did. He stood up to them and so forth. But you know what? Biden, obviously, what do they call him now? Beijing Biden. I can't. You know, neither of these guys are our saviors, right?
No.
But at least Trump had his way of putting his foot down and standing up to enemies that are real enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've got the fake Russian collusion thing. You've got
absolutely.
You know, Biden and even Hunter. I think there was a big dump of intel yesterday, day before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see the pictures of Biden's son smoking crack with all these women now. Young look very underage, and that's on the internet now.
I know.
Anybody can get that. You know, it's not sitting on a laptop in Giuliani's office.
But you had people, and I knew some of them. I just don't like Trump. He just says things and I don't like him. So you're willing to basically shoot yourself in the foot, double your gas prices, increase your food prices on your fixed income, I might add, that's not going to be going up, increase taxes. You're willing to do all this stuff to damage yourself because you didn't like what he tweeted. Now, how stupid can somebody really be?
It's pure propaganda. The divide was created through the media. You and I have spoken about it. The country fell for it. The right-left paradigm, most people are caught in.
In the middle.
Yep. And they know that. And that's why Brennan comes out and he says, well, you know, we got to deal with extreme domestic extremists now and libertarians.
Because mm-hmm.
libertarians aren't right-left. They're kind of their own people. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're dealing. It was his way of saying we got to go deal with everyone as extremists and domestic terrorists who don't believe in our narrative. It's time to focus on those bad people out there.
Well, you know, it goes back. And I said it a number of times last week. There's no way you will ever convince me that the election held in November was honest and legit. And the reason I say this is multifold. Number one, Too many things don't add up, no matter how you try to explain them away. Mathematics is still mathematics. 2 + 2 still equals 4, not 5, not 12, not some imaginary number, even though today's math and people's opinions are, well, it can be whatever you want it to be. Well, it can't be for an election, let's be honest. But that's where we are. So was there cheating? Yes. Was there cheating in 2016? Almost enough, but there wasn't enough. That was the key. And they made sure in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, they made sure those states would be able to have just enough. But the mail-in ballots, look, here in Georgia, where this program is originating this week, I've got a friend that spent days traveling all over near the middle to coastal area of Georgia, looking down addresses of people that registered to vote, and they're all empty fields that have never had a resident. No house has ever been there. No mobile home. Not even a pickup truck camper was ever there. And these are addresses of people that voted in the presidential election. And guess what? They voted again in the senatorial elections, you know, the runoff elections in January, in the special election. So why Raffensperger cheated, or why he never wanted anybody to double it? Notice the one thing, the Bible says abstain from even the appearance of evil. Why did they fight so hard for you not to see the signatures on the ballots?
Of course. Why did they fight for mail-in ballots to begin with? Mm-hmm. They knew what they were doing. You know, look, the progressive liberal atheist, you know, is he believes in miracles because these addresses mm-hmm. were sending in ballots. Boy, they were voting and everything. I believe in miracles.
Yeah,
we live in a twisted, upside down country right now.
And then Raffensperger says, well, as near as we can figure, there were only two people that were dead on election day.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they're brain dead. I'm not
really
sure.
And then they're starting to show the death certificates matched up to the ballot request of people that died before they even requested their ballot. You know, how do you explain it?
I know. So, you know, now what does that do with the confidence of the American
there
people?
Is none.
That's right. And there is none in the elected
leaders. Well, unless you're in the left and now you know that your party is going to control the elections any which way they so desire. We no longer even need elections. They're just a formality. We want to keep the party alive.
Right. So you have anti-fascists. You have the fascist we finally kicked out of office. Meanwhile, we did it with 60,000 troops.
Yeah.
Okay, that really looked great. That really looked good.
We have more troops around Washington, D.C. than yeah. Let's put it this way. When Lincoln was being inaugurated during the Civil War, there were more troops now than there were then during a Civil War, where just across the river is the South.
Right. We didn't look like fascists on Inauguration Day, not at all. Not only that, but now, and I said, they're not going to leave. And of course, they're saying, well, at least 5,000 are going to stick around at least till mm-hmm. March, I read. Mm-hmm. You watch. They're not going to leave. You know, the question is, all of the things that they called Trump, and again, I'm not a lover of Trump, but the things that they called him, bringing in a police state, secret police, all mm-hmm. of that. It's everything they're saying and doing right now.
Anytime you have fascists, and that's what the Democrats have become. They have become today's fascist party.
Right.
They have become basically the German party of the 1930s. We'll leave it at that. They have done everything right down to the Reichstag fire, which is called break into the Capitol. And I've been reading and reading and reading, and you start looking at real video, not just edited snippets from CNN and, you know, any of the in the tank media, and you begin to say, wait a minute, he was still speaking to the real crowd when this small crowd is breaking in to places, and they seem to know what they were doing. That's what bothers me.
They were being let in, practically giving high fives to the guards.
Right. And you're starting to say, wait a minute, who are these people?
Yeah.
And how do they get in? these are not Trump supporters. They may look like them, and you find out some are actual people that have been arrested in Antifa and Black Lives Matter violence over the summer. Same characters.
Who was funding them?
Yeah, and
was it Soros? Was it, you know, we sat here speculating last time. We knew who was funding them. Same people.
Same ones.
The agenda goes forward in lockstep.
And all you need to do, and I know there's some of our listeners that at one time followed Q, you know, QAnon. And the problem, and I've said it from the very beginning, I never spoke much about QAnon because everything that was being said was like, wait till next week, wait till next month. Well, weeks and months went by and nothing is happening. And I'm beginning to realize we've got a whole cult of people that have been led into a deep deception. It is a reverse psychop, you know, yep, operation on these people. They were led astray, I believe, by those supporting Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Global. Well, here's the deal, okay? When in 1920, the same thing was done in Bolshevik Russia, and it was called Trust. It was a group anonymously called Trust. Mm-hmm. Almost word for word, they put out news articles and papers to select people saying trust that the former generals and veteran and supporters of mm-hmm. the king and are going to overthrow the Bolsheviks. Just trust. And it was a complete psyop. It was used again. There's nothing new under the sun.
And, you know, if you go back in our own history over the past 60 or 70 years and things that finally get declassified, isn't that most people don't even notice. The term Q has been used by many of our own intelligence agencies in similar activities over the past 65 years. Isn't that remarkable that, you know, they just recycle the name, put it out there on some anonymous website that's run out of a foreign country, really from here, and everybody is picking up these little encoded snippets, you know,
and believing it.
And what they did is they peeled off basically a few percent of the Trump supporters. And that's what it really boils down to, because most people that I know never heard of it, never paid attention to it. But you find that one or two out of 100. Yeah, maybe it is real. And I'm telling them, don't buy it. You're going to be made a fool.
There's something in your gut that tells you not to. I mean, it sounds hopeful. People want hope.
Look, I looked at it.
What to say, you know, but it sounds hopeful. But your gut tells you this is just a little too weird.
Nonsense.
This anonymous guy, and he's telling you wait and wait. Sounds like, you know, you're being played, right? Like you're being played. And that is what happened. Go ahead.
I'm not going to say the name, but I'd shared it last week in the program, a little audio clip of one of these former CIA whatchamacallit, you know, inside operatives and his bozo friend from the UK, and they know everything about the spy business.
I couldn't stand them, but I they kept coming to me. People kept sending me their videos.
I know, and I'm going, and it's like, when the corporation of the United States was put out of business in England. Well, what are you talking about? I mean, all this silliness and nonsense, and you got people lapping it up like a cat, you know, lapping up cream off the kitchen floor.
Yep. And then they were silent because Biden wasn't supposed to be inaugurated. He was inaugurated, those former spooks, you know, never came on the radio.
Not again.
They were silent. I was like, where are they?
And then, you know, as I mentioned last week, you know, all these so-called Christian prophets that God told me in a dream last night that it's all going to turn from blue to red and Trump is going to be the president and he'll be inaugurated. We saw that from November all the way toward the end of December. Now, there were several, I can't remember them. I had about four or five of these clips that I saved. And then, you know, this one very famous one, Jeremiah Johnson, now he's repenting, but he's back into business again, you know, doing his roadshow. I'm sorry, Jeremiah, if you're out there and you put your entire reputation of being a prophet on the line saying that Trump was going to win in November. Well, okay, I was a little wrong. He will get it when they go to the House. Oh, I got it wrong. He'll get it but he kept saying that he would be inaugurated on the 20th, and it didn't happen. And the fact that you're running your road show down to Tampa and going here and having all these conferences, I think you need to get a new job. And I believe that Burger King is hiring. I mean, this is my problem with these self-proclaimed prophets. Well, they have deceived many.
Yeah, and it's because you've got secular messiahs, and that's what these politicians are. They're secular messiahs, and we lift them up as that. I mean, you remember way back they had in Newsweek, there was a picture of Obama, and their title was The Second Coming.
Yep, yep.
You know, I mean, so we lift these, and they did the same with Trump, let's face it. He was another secular messiah.
Oh, and how many, look, I can remember the guy that I once worked for. I apologize that I ever worked for the guy, but once I figured out what a scam artist he was, I got out of there. I mean, you know, it was like, I told him what I thought, so you can throw it, you can toss a coin. Did I quit or get fired? Take your choice, you know. Right. I wasn't coming back, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. I already had other plans and already had moved on. And let's just say I milked my vacation that I would have lost had I not done it the way I did. That's just how it worked out.
But where does it put us? And for me, I see it this way, and you might differ.
Yeah, this guy said that Trump was God's man in 2016. And somehow he claimed that he knew it in 2015. I'm sorry, I edited your radio show in 2015. You never said that.
Right.
I know. Yeah. I heard every episode.
Right. Right.
You lied.
Yeah, I think what Trump brought, he brought a very, very well-defined divide also in this country, not because that was his agenda. Maybe it was. What I'm saying is this. Mm-hmm. It's being capitalized on by the globalists, the cabal, deep state, whatever you want to call them. You know, you now have a divide in this country like never before. It's also a violent one on at least one side.
Yep.
And what Trump did was pull out very visibly every conservative, Christian, patriot in this country, which now that Trump's not in office and Biden is, now they're calling them domestic terrorists.
Yep.
And extreme religious groups, and they've got to now start going after them in our country here.
Yep.
Well, guess who they are now that they pulled them all out in the open? You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
That's us.
And
that's what they're doing. And we've been exposed. The Q did it. All of that.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Whatever. Yada, yada.
Now you're all out in the open.
We're all, you know, most of us never followed Q, thought it was a total fabrication of a very creative leftist mind. We got a break coming up. We got just a couple of seconds here before we got to run. But I mean, I had people, good God, just wonderful, nice people that are so naive. They share everything that comes on Facebook and they never vet it. And I keep telling them, stop posting this silliness. You're making yourself look like a complete idiot.
Right.
And they keep doing it. They just can't. They can't stop. It's like an addiction.
It is.
This program Truth to Ponder for a reason. We're not giving you any silliness that we just happen to spot on the internet, and it must be true because we spotted it on the internet. if you and I share it, we are reasonably certain, you know, with a preponderance of the evidence is on our side. I may not be able to get it down to 100, but man, it's going to be enough to make you really think carefully.
Sure.
We're going to talk about some of the, you know, in 5 days' time, some of the stuff that has already happened. In just 5 days, and we only have, what is that, 1,000, how many more days to go of this thing? Let's see. We'll do the math during the break. This is Truth to Ponder. We will take a break. My guest today, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales, one of our more favorite guests. And when we get back, we're going to give you Dr. Tim's connection information if you have any questions for him directly. Or you can always just use the website, truth2ponder.com, to reach me. And then we can, you know, get you all connected. Once again, we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Grand Rabbi, coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, the most esteemed title in Judaism is that of rabbi. Now, the rabbi is the spiritual leader of the community, the teacher of God's ways. But there's a higher title. When a rabbi is so esteemed and revered that he becomes the leader of other rabbis, a rabbi of rabbis, he can acquire the title of grand rabbi. In Israel today, there is a grand rabbi for the Ashkenazi or Eastern European Jews, and another grand rabbi for the Sephardic or Mediterranean Jews. What about you? Do you have a rabbi? Well, if you're born again, the answer is yes. His name is Yeshua, Jesus, Rabbi Jesus. But he's not just a rabbi. He's a rabbi of rabbis. And he's not just a rabbi of rabbis. He's the rabbi of rabbis. He's the teacher of teachers. He's the shepherd of shepherds, the rabbi of rabbis. This is a wonderful thing. Jesus is the rabbi of rabbis. That means he's a grand rabbi. And he's not just a grand rabbi. He's the grand rabbi. He's the grand rabbi of the universe. It's even more awesome and wonderful than that. He's your rabbi. That's right. Your Redeemer is the grand rabbi. He's the rabbi and he's grand. Your best and closest friend is the grand rabbi of the universe, the spiritual leader of existence, the shepherd of the cosmos. Don't you think it's an honor? Don't you think you should be blessed? And don't you think you should listen to him and follow him and learn from him and be his true disciple? Do you want to live a great life? Then you have to follow the way of the great rabbi. Listen to him. He didn't get the title because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's the grand rabbi. And when you let him lead and do it his way, your life will be grand as well. Want more? Ask for the grand rabbi. Now, if somebody offered you a gift of $1 million, what would you say? Well, something better than $1 million. Something that'll help give you a strong and grand life in God. A free subscription to Sapphires, vitamins for your spirit, and the incredible mystery of the temple doors, all free. You'll love it. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus's Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. But call now. You'll be so blessed. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, the harvest is great. The laborers, though, are few. I invite you to join with me in the harvest. You don't need a plow, just an open heart and a pen. You can reach the unreached peoples of the world. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Again, that's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Ravinu, our Rabbi.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Today, along with my good friend, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales, we have a lot to discuss today, probably tomorrow too. Hope that you'll be around for the two broadcasts. I want to thank those that have been supporting this ministry. And I was pleasantly surprised last week from a few people, and I'll be trying to get some little cards and letters out to you. We had a little, let me just put it this way, a plumbing problem here at our little place up in Georgia, which is just took us for a loop. And so we're kind of, you know, operating in primitive conditions at the moment. So please bear with us as we try to, it's bad enough just trying to get the show done these first few days of this week. We have rain, which is going to make it harder for the outdoor work to get done that needs to get done. So no big deal. It'll get done. It's just making it hard to get all my work done right now. And that includes thank you notes to those that have supported this ministry. You don't know how much it means. We are finishing up this week our first month on KVOH, shortwave 9975. Kilohertz out of Los Angeles. And if you're listening there, it really would help me to know. Look, I know it takes time for being on a new station for people to feel comfortable in writing or dropping me a card or a letter or even an email. But it's, once again, all shortwave airtime is not free. And so I need to cover that bill coming up next week. That's coming in. So if you're so inclined, let me know if you're listening there. I want to be a good steward of the resources that I have, and God has been good, but I also want to make sure that I'm not putting money where it does not need to be. So any suggestions, thoughts, what have you, let me know. The website, of course, is truth2ponder.com, Truth, the number two, ponder.com. And if you want to use the mailing address, we're here in Georgia, and it's Truth to Ponder. And we are 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. We are in, also add on that line, number 263, because the way the mail works here, it's kind of weird, but and very different. Regular mail goes to a little box, and that's the box number. Not the address, but that's how they want you to do it. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Once again, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Well, this is day five of the new administration. Contrary to what Q has to say, that it's not a super secret, what do they call it? Super secret martial law. Yeah, we're under martial law. We just don't know it. We're keeping it a total secret. Nobody's supposed to know that the Corporation of the United States doesn't exist. And Trump is playing golf in Florida, ready to come back on a moment's notice when the military calls him. But this is the kind of nonsense that has been out there all the way up until a day or two before the inauguration. And I don't think that it was a phony inauguration. It may have been a phony election, but it's not a phony inauguration. And to those that say, well, you know, 64 courts threw it out. No, they didn't. 64 courts found reasons never to hear the evidence. I mean, literally, never to hear the evidence. They would say, like in one case, Supreme Court, state of Texas, you have no standing? I thought that the arbitrator between states, last I read, was the Supreme Court, but apparently not anymore, not at least with phony Justice Roberts, the phony conservative that loved Obamacare. Let's try another one. Well, do you have all the evidence of all the cheating? Well, we have some, but we need to look at the ballot signatures. Nope. Unless you have the evidence, we're not going to hear the case. This is what really happened. So anytime anybody tells you that it was thrown out of court 64 times, the court found ways not to hear the case. Period. End of discussion. If anybody tells you otherwise, they have no idea of what they're talking about. They're repeating regurgitated talking points from MSNBC, which has a credibility issue, period.
Right.
I welcome back the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. All right, sorry to hold you up that long in my initial coming back here, but when we look at this past election, there were issues. Now, whether there were enough to overturn it, I can't tell you, but the courts, even with enough evidence to make you want to look into a crime, they don't want to do it.
They're not looking.
They don't want to
look. It's done. That's going to swept under the rug.
Absolutely.
Anybody who keeps bringing that up is going to look like an extremist to them now. You're going to be some conspiracy guy next. Fact is, done, swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving on with our new savior, Biden, and Harris will be really the savior. Sure.
Absolutely. And the debate right now, and it makes sense. Will it be before 2 years or after 2 years? And the reason is that if she waits 2 years and a day, like to the 21st of 2023, then she can run for two full terms after that. See, Lyndon Johnson could have done that. Now, he ran in 60, you know, he ran in 64. He could have run again in 68. And we would have had him for almost 10 years.
They can keep Biden's dementia from getting worse.
Yeah,
they got to stave it off for another 2 years. That's what they got to do.
Well,
and he's already pretty bad off.
Yeah, there's been a few things, you're right, already, just since he got into office.
Yes.
And you know, it's going to keep, unfortunately, and I'm not being condescending to Mr. Biden in any shape, manner, or form. I'm not. My wife in particular has known many family members that have dealt with this. And I've dealt with it in my ministry work. And it's a gradual thing that doesn't get better. You can give certain medicines and stave it off for short periods of time. You can stop one of the first things is combativeness. And he's already doing the, come on, man, you know, with simple questions. We're already getting, come on, man.
I know.
And it's going to start getting, come on, and you're going to find, I've met people that never cursed a day in their life. They were just not that kind of a person. Their language was clean as clean could be. But after they got into their 70s and they were hitting either dementia or Alzheimer's, they both can do this, suddenly they were cursing like sailors at strangers, or questioning everything, and getting combative on the slightest thing. Yep. And the language was just incredible. It's like, where did this come from? Well, it's illness.
Yep.
It's like Tourette's syndrome. They can't control it. So you've got a press corps that was willing to just be obnoxious and even filthy in their assessment by saying untruths and demanding an answer to an untruth. When it came to President Trump, now the questions are, so how is your day going? Oh, what's your favorite color for your office? I mean, have you changed the drapes? I mean, and even that you get, come on, man. I mean, they're giving softball questions to the guy. And somehow, I mean,
you can see it, and it is a disease, and it is tragic. But even my 14-year-old, who doesn't know anything about politics, really, and sees Biden talking, says to me, what's the matter with him? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it looks like he's struggling from something we call dementia. The fact is, it's there. Look at his eyes. Anybody who's dealt with it, with a family member, others, it's there. Okay, and that is a tragic aspect mm-hmm. here. But there's a lot of things that are tragic all the way around right now. The country is in a tragic position.
It is.
What is our country now? Are we a republic, a democracy, a fascist state, a Bolshevik state? What are we now?
We don't know. And now, really, and let's go back to, look, I really believe a lot of people did vote for Biden. A lot of them did. It wasn't all cheating. You don't need it, 50%. You only need just a few percent in a few key places to tip the balance. I mean, that's all you have to do. Take some from here and add over to there. You can do it in the three states that counted because of the way the Electoral College system works. The popular vote doesn't matter because people like Trump, why campaign in New York and California and spend mega millions to lose it anyway? So the vote totals don't really mean anything. It's what happened in key battleground states like Arizona, like Pennsylvania, like Michigan, Wisconsin, just to name some. And it could have been, this is just nothing but 2016 all over again. But they were more prepared in Wayne County. They were more prepared in the city of Philadelphia. And they found a way to use the extreme Democrat core of Atlanta that is corrupt as corrupt could be. It's a corrupt city. Come on. It really is corrupt. I've been down there. I've been around it for, 40 years. And I've watched it grow. And I've watched the corruption. There have been many people that have gone to jail from politics there because of their corruption. So to think that voter fraud is not within their possible realm, I don't think that it isn't. There's nothing that Secretary of State can say about the suitcases full of ballots coming out from under a table.
Right.
That'll ever convince me that they were legit. Because I have been around election counting in Atlanta during 1976 when Jimmy Carter was elected. I watched how it's done. And that's not how it's done. Trust me on that.
When you have elections that are corrupt the way they are in a country that our judicial system is corrupt all the way to the top, they won't even look at the corruption in the elections. What do we have left? That's my question.
Look, the way we did the election this time, going around in many of these states with the mail-in ballots, and this is not just rare, but there was a lot of people saying that, especially those that live in apartments, that they would be getting 2, 3, and 4 ballots for people that were no longer there. They moved away, never registered somewhere else, but they're still in the system with the same address. What do you do with 4 ballots at your house? This was not uncommon.
Yeah, sadly. And so we know that this It really was a complete gaffoo. The entire.
It was by design. This, look, Jimmy Carter would never have put up with this in any other country in the world when he was out there overseeing elections. He would never have put up with this. But somehow it's good enough for us.
Well, this is what the deep state did in other countries out there to make sure elections went our way. This is the name of the game. So what's the end result? What does it mean for us Americans now? Okay, Biden's in. He's our president in there right now. What does this mean for us going forward? What is happening and what has he done in, what, a week? Has it been a week yet even?
Five days. Mm-hmm. 5 days, I mean, and he's already canceled jobs. I mean, he's just and now, if you are somebody going to college and you happen to be female in women's sports, you can kiss that goodbye too.
Yeah, it's gone.
I mean, because you know, some big guy that can't quite make it on the football team, he's going to go out for women's sports, and he's going to his name's going to change from Jim to Jane. I mean. Yeah. I'm going out for women's track.
I mean, you know. Absolutely.
I know I shave, but, you know, I'm going out. Right. But I identify as a woman.
You know? But this is what's happening.
And he did this, and I'm thinking of people that I know that I knew were going to vote for Biden because they didn't like Trump's tweets, or that's what they were told on. See, they just watch regular TV and regular news. They only know what NBC told them. And they live little shallow, happy lives on their Social Security in Florida. And somehow they really believe, well, Biden said he won't affect the taxes on anybody that makes less than $400,000 a year. Yeah. And I'm going, how stupid can you be? He doesn't have to.
Not a peep last summer when Antifa and BLM are burning cities down, except now they're upset because the monster's turned on them. Mm-hmm. And now the monster is burning down and smashing windows in Democratic headquarters and carrying signs saying, we don't want Biden either.
Yeah, I know.
Now what are they going to do?
Well, they got a problem on their hands.
And like Trump did? Uh-oh, secret police. the whole thing is a joke.
It goes without saying, real quick. It goes without saying. That these people that thought that Biden, well, he said it's not going to affect anybody under 400,000. This is about as silly as back when they gave us the income tax to begin with. It'll only be 1% on any income over $100,000. They said that in 1917. And like, who makes 100 grand in 1917? Well, it didn't take long and everybody was sucked into it. So never believe that. But here's the problem. You don't have to raise the income tax. You can raise the gasoline tax, which they're already talking about doing. You can raise the cost of fuel. Well, okay, that means my $2 and whatever you're paying, $2 and whatever, in some places even under $2, but not for long. All of a sudden, that could become $2.79, $3.19, $3.24, because we're no longer going to be producing energy in this country. Instead of being an exporter, now we're going to be importing again. Yep. Okay, so maybe I can absorb the gas tax. Well, then your food's going to go up because everything, every step of the way requires, quote, fossil fuel. It's not run by windmills and stuff yet.
Well, it requires people working. And isn't it interesting? 2 days after Biden comes in, you've got New York City, the mayor and governor, and Chicago saying, you know, we better start opening restaurants and stuff up again. And
before there are none left.
Or there's not going to be any cities left.
Well, no. I think that they, you know, you and I have used this expression, evil always overplays its hand. You know, you would have thought that after November, they would have given it up and stopped playing the case game. But they couldn't allow it to even look good during any time that Trump is in office. Now, we're not going to get into it too much now. We're going to run out of time. But tomorrow, I want to get into a few numbers. Well, we have just enough time to do this much. We're no longer counting the PCR test as the only way to have cases, which means how many of the cases prior were wrong. You're also, mark my words on this. I think we said this before the election, that in the event that Joe Biden won whether by hook or crook or for real, whatever, didn't matter. Number one, I said, if Trump wins, the church only has a little bit of a reprieve to reorganize themselves to be ready for tougher times. Well, now that time frame has been moved up a year or two. So it's time to rethink. We'll do that tomorrow. But you and I said that after Biden becomes in office, that all of a sudden the case numbers will begin to magically drop.
Yep.
And then the death numbers will begin to magically drop. Not that they were ever that high to begin with. I mean, look.
But they were in your face on the TV screen and they disappeared now.
Oh, yeah. They used to have the death clock on CNN every hour just showed 397,000 are dead. And of course, Biden has predicted 500,000, so we can't let him down. We got to find 100,000 more.
From office, Mark's
exit. We got to have 100,000 more people that are going to have to, you know, literally die. That's all there is to it.
Right.
And will they? We'll find out. I mean, look, you know, and I know, we've shared this, and believe me on this because I worked in it. Saw a lady on the TV the other day talking about her mother that had fallen down a staircase. Now, her mother's in her mid to late 90s, like 96, maybe 97. She had the coronavirus and had fully recovered 2 months ago.
Right.
I mean, her mother had COVID-19 and she recovered, was feeling great, and she slipped and fell backward and hit her head and died, you know, several days later. She's a corona death.
Gosh.
And the mother's suing to get that tagging off there. Because, you know, my mother was not sick. My mother did not have it. My mother had tested negative twice after the fact. She did not die of COVID. Now, this is not unusual. You know, I know people in nursing homes where they're saying, my loved one has coronavirus. I can't see them. Okay, how long? Well, we're on month number 3, but they're not. What are you talking about?
Right. Well, look, they showed it, and we've talked about it before. Even Elon Musk did 4 tests. He got 2 positives, 2 negatives, mm-hmm. all at the same time. Come on.
We have people that have died in motorcycle accidents that had tested positive a month or two before, but they're feeling great speeding down the highway with no helmet, and they slide the bike, and, you know, it's all over.
Right.
But he had tested positive, so he must have died of COVID-19. Washington State, all the way back into March, five people in Washington State, drug dealers in a gun battle die. They're COVID-19.
Yeah. And so still, where is it going to go now? Right now that Biden's in, what is going to happen?
Now we're only going to count the ones that are real. Starting,
right. But they're putting lots of policies in, Bob, all over. They're putting in flying and traveling and mm-hmm. even executive order. Biden just wrote an executive order on traveling, and it's not just international. Domestic traveling.
Yep.
You have to have the COVID vaccine. They have to justify giving that to you for something.
I know.
It's a positive PCR test, or you look, you know, you sneezed. I don't know. They got to justify giving it to you for something, so otherwise you're not getting on the bus. Didn't we say this was coming?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are. We're looking at it. Traveling restrictions. United Airlines just came out with the fact that they're going to make every employee get it. Well, they said they're not going to make it mandatory, but they're going to intimidate the hell out of you to get it. Well, mm-hmm. we see that happening everywhere. Yeah. What is going on? What is the real goal here? What is it? This really does look like control. But, you know, hey, maybe I'm just one of those conspiracy guys because we only called this many, many months ago, and it's all coming to fruition right now. I'm running out of conspiracy theories. They've all come true.
You know, I can't agree with you anymore because, you know, I think of some of the things you and I have talked about during these past several months since you and I began conversing and sharing the things that we're seeing with our own eyes. It doesn't take a super expert to sift through the nonsense. It's out there if you're willing to look for it. It really is. My guest today, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. Timothy, let's pick this up tomorrow, and we've got a lot more to say. We're going to run out of time, and I don't want to to break into another topic or two, but I want to share just a few things. Like I said at the top of the program, so much of what we've been talking about on this program, on this very program, is little bits and pieces at a time coming out. Suddenly, the oddball narrative, and I had a few people, even when I was doing the weekend shows, saying, that just sounds crazy, Bob. That's dumb talk. That's weird. No, the virus is what they say it is. The CDC, this, that, and the other, go down the whole line. And I kept looking at the numbers, and my background, besides being on the radio, and yeah, ministry came later in life, but I've worked in engineering for years. So, you know, I'm the guy with the slide rule and the calculator. Numbers mean something. And if you get the numbers wrong or misuse the numbers, well, whatever it is you're building doesn't work. And so I tend to look carefully at numbers, facts, and figures. One of the things that has disturbed me, and I want to share this really quick. I don't want to get into too much. Maybe I'll talk a little more about it tomorrow, but I did a little bit of research. We talk about the number of people that have died from this virus or with this virus or may have never even had the virus or was assumed to have the virus. And right now it's 400 and some odd thousand. And President Biden has, you know, he prophesied that it's going to be 500,000 before it's all said and done, or by the end of February, whatever the number, doesn't matter. Somehow he'll get his number one way or the other. The media will help him get that number. I was doing a little bit of research on the number of people that actually die. Now, I'm a part of the baby boom generation, and there's a thing you ought to look at someday. It's called the population pyramid. It kind of shows where the population is. And as we get older, of course, it gets a little bit slimmer at the top. Now, in my lifetime, we have extended the lifetime of people with better medicine and surgeries. Instead of the average male dying at age 64, now it's more like 77 or something like that. It's gone up substantially. The big number of baby boomers are now entering their 60s, their 70s, and, you know, maybe their late 50s, even pushing 80 in some cases. And the pre-World War II group from the 1930s, which is a bit of a bubble, not as big as the baby boom, hey, they're in their 80s and 90s. They're up in age. And so we have more people that are older now than we've ever had before in history. If you couple the number of abortions in this country, there are far fewer younger people to offset the average age. And so more people are coming into their golden years, their retirement years. There was a time back in the 40s, there was really no nursing homes, very few, because very few people made it that far in life. Today, we have a lot of people living older. And so to have a slight, barely detectable increase in the deaths per thousand, that's a better way to look at it with our current population. 8-point-something deaths per thousand. It used to be, you know, at its best, it was 7.9. It used to be a lot higher than that 25, 30 years ago. So we've been hanging around 8-point-something, 8.1, 8.2 deaths per thousand for quite a while. We still are. So this massive number of people dying is not really true. It's how are they dying? I'm going to give you some more facts and figures, because it always bothered me when the WHO admitted that, well, or even the CDC admitted that, man, 94% of them, they had other really serious issues. And 40% or 50% are dying in nursing homes. We've all heard the numbers. Listen, we're out of time for today. If you believe in the work that we're doing, let me know. Visit the website, truth2ponder.com. Any financial help to offset shortwave airtime, you can mail a check to 21 Berkshire, BERKSHIRE, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number two, ponder.com. Truth to ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.